This evening's scripture reading is taken from Acts chapter 9, verses 1 to 9. Meanwhile, Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues at Damascus, so that if he found any who belonged to the way, men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. Now, as he was going along and approaching Damascus, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" He asked, "Who are you, Lord?" The reply came, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But get up and enter the city, and you will be told what you are to do." The men who were traveling with him stood speechless because they heard the voice but saw no one. Saul got up from the ground, and though his eyes were open, he could see nothing. So they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. For 3 days, he was without sight and neither ate nor drank. This is the word of the Lord.
I had the privilege to preach this morning at 8:45. And as I was telling the people this morning that it was an honor to be with people who wake up very early, I'm going to try to be politically correct and to say that it's also an honor to be with people who wake up late, which is you, by the way. Friends, I think that when we read the Bible, most of the time, we come with our luggages, right? We come with bags and bags when we read the Bible. And why? Because the Bible is kind of an old book. You know, it's been written 2,000 years ago. And so in our luggage, we have different compartments. And one of those compartments might be misunderstanding. There are words in the Bible that we don't really understand because they are too old, or they were used at a time, but we don't really use them anymore. There are also compartments of things we think we understand, but we don't, right? Because the context has changed. Our cultural context is very different from Near Eastern, right? Jerusalem, Judea, all of that. That's really kind of far from who we are right now, 21st century. And there's also one compartment in our luggage, and it's about bad translations, really, really bad translations that we've kind of carried all the way through. And that's what I'm going to talk about tonight. I'm going to talk about one Greek word called metanoia. And, you know, when it comes to the Bible, there are also concepts that we think we know. We think we read those concepts in the Bible that actually don't exist at all. I'm going to give you two examples, and it's because it's 5 p.m. tonight. It was meant to be a small group, but Pastor Michel said, "Hey, there are actually people coming to church tonight." So we have a whole crowd. One example. We all know the prophet Jonah, right? And we know that he stayed 3 days in the belly of a whale. Wrong answer. The Bible says 3 days in the belly of a big fish. A big fish. Now we think that it's a well, maybe not. Another great example. How many wise men? Three. We don't know how many wise men. We know that there were three gifts, so we kind of made this like link between the gifts and the wise men, because there were three gifts, there were three wise men, but the Bible don't say so. So see, all of that is what we carry with us. And this concept tonight, metanoia, it's beautiful Greek, and I can also see in your eyes a little bit of apprehension, saying it's kind of late tonight to talk about Greek concepts, so I hope Anto is not going to be too boring, and I'm going to ask you to give me a little bit of your attention. Don't go on Facebook yet. Metanoia. You know words that start with meta, right? Metaphysics. Meta means to go beyond, after. So physics, the word of the senses, right, the five senses, And metaphysics is what goes beyond our senses. So meta, that's the first part. And noia comes from the Greek word, the Greek verb noeo, which means to think. So meta, noeo, after what we think. Still doesn't make much sense, right? So that's good news because we're going to unpack this concept. And I'm going to start with what you can find in your Bible. 80% of the time, metanoia is badly translated as repentance. Why repentance is a bad translation? Because when we think of repentance, we think of something that happened that wasn't right. We think of sorrow, of being sad. We think of punishment, right? That's what the concept brings, repentance. There are two instances in the New Testament that metanoia does actually mean repentance. Very specific cases, two specific cases. One is the parable of the two sons in Matthew 21. Any of you know the parable of the two sons? Isaac? Of course. Any others? It's a very short parable. I love it. So I'm going to tell you what the parable is. It's the parable of a dad who owns a vineyard. And he has two sons. In the morning, at breakfast, he brings a son, and he say, "Hey, Bob, would you like to work for me today?" And Bob say, "Uh-uh, don't really want to work for you, Dad." So, wow, okay, so I'm going to ask James. "James, do you want to work for me today?" And James say, "I'd love to, Daddy. Let me go to the vineyard and work for you." Now, what happened during the day is that little Bob, the one who said no to the dad, repented. He realized that he did something wrong, and he decided to go in the vineyard and work for his dad. So he repented, and then he went to the field. The other one, James, the one who said, "Yes, Daddy, I will do it," ended up not doing it at all. He didn't work. So Jesus asked, "Which one do you think we prefer in life, Bob or James?" And obviously the disciples said, "Yes, we all prefer Bob." And it was a metaphor for, you know, all the people that he hanged out with, tax collectors, prostitutes, versus the Pharisees, the ones who say, "Yes, I do everything very right, I'm righteous," but didn't do much. So this precise example, we can apply metanoia for repentance. It does apply. The second case is the story of Judas. We all know that Judas betrayed Jesus. And we also know that once he realized that he betrayed Jesus, he was seized with great sorrow. And he decided to turn back the 30 silver pieces that he gained from his betrayal. And he brought it back. He brought the pieces back to the chief priest. He repented. He realized that he did something wrong. And he decided to pay back. That's what repentance is about. But it's really specific to when we do something wrong and we realize that we've done something wrong and we decide to pay back. But we also know the story of Judas, right? What happened after he repented himself? He hanged himself, which means he couldn't find a way to go beyond repentance. He couldn't find a way that would go further just paying back for what he did. Think of it, Judas could have been the best apostle, right? He could have said, "I know I've done something wrong, but what I'm going to do, I'm going to be the best defender of the Christian faith. I'm going to go and I'm going to proclaim Jesus to the whole world." Right? Judas could have done that, but it didn't go beyond repentance. So most of the time in the Bible, 90%, it's repentance. Look in your Bible. Every time you see repentance, it's metanoia. But metanoia is a bigger concept. It encapsulates a lot more than just repentance. So I was telling you about the apostle, right? That Judas could have become, but he decided to hang himself. Now the story that we just learned today is the story of the best apostle of the Christian faith. And it leads us to our second translation of metanoia, conversion. You've all heard the word conversion, right? We use it in our daily life. Well, that's the story of the best conversion in the Bible, the Apostle Paul. Conversion is a better term. I like it a little bit better. It comes from the Latin word conversum em, and it means literally, to turn around, but in a kind of a sudden way, right? It would be like, gonna do it. That's conversion. It's when you shift from one side to another. And that's what happened to the Apostle Paul, right? He was on his way to Damascus, and then got literally hit, fell on the ground, became blind, and had this conversion, this metanoia. Something changed. And I looked and looked for many pictures, many old images of this conversion of the Apostle Paul. And I found one that would, you will see what conversion is about. Let me show you. What we can see here, that the horse is heading one direction and Paul is the other. That's exactly what it's about. It's this idea of turning around, but it's kind of a weird depiction of the Apostle Paul, isn't it? Because you would think that he would go in the same direction as the horse, but no. He's turning the other way. God turned him around, the conversion. But still, I wasn't satisfied with this translation of the Greek word metanoia. And the one I want to bring up today is this one. Metanoia is a change of heart and mind. Metanoia, a change of heart and mind. So what we tend to think as just a repentance or conversion is actually a lot more bigger. Because remember what I told you about the luggage that we carry around? And repentance, we just feel like it's just kind of a punishment for something that we've done. Conversion nowadays, it's more like we think of it as moving from one religion to another, right? That's what conversion is about. I was a Catholic, I converted to Protestantism. That's a change of state of mind. But it doesn't really tell us about this dynamic process that is metanoia. So metanoia, a change of heart and mind. All of a sudden, we can see that it's a little bit more holistic, right? It takes into account our mind and our heart. And it basically means that we are turning to God with our whole body, with our whole being. We turn to God not only with our mind, but also with our heart. So two aspects, right? With our mind. Well, that's something that we, as 21st century citizens, we know about it. We know what it's like to think things through. And we know that to be a good Christian, we need to believe some creeds, right? We need to believe the right beliefs. And that's why every time there is, for example, confirmation here, we all together as a congregation, we say the Apostles' Creed. From the very beginning, the fathers of the church said, hey, this is what we should believe. These are the beliefs. And you can't just self-proclaim yourself a Christian if you don't believe that Christ is the Son of God, right? And there are so many other examples like that. So metanoia means that you start with you change your mind. You're able to believe the Christian beliefs. And by the way, metanoia is not just something from the New Testament, although our text today is from the New Testament. In Ezekiel 36, the prophet Ezekiel said that when the restoration of Israel is going to come, the Lord is going to give us a new heart and put in all of us a new spirit. Can you see how we can think of it as metanoia, right? A new heart and a new spirit. a change of heart, a change of mind. So change of mind, that we agree. We know, most of the time, we know what to do right. We know when we do wrong. And you know, some people, when you preach, some people say, you know, thank you, but we know our sins. We know our sins, we know what to do right, we know what to do wrong. Thank you for telling us, but that we know. But the problem is, most of the time, and if you talk to people who have gone through addictions or things like that, is that your body is kind of disconnected with your mind. And that although your mind is really focused over there, your body is heading in a different direction, right? And that's where the disconnect happens. And actually, to change our heart, to change what we love, that's a lot more complicated. I brought you one of my favorite books by James K. Smith. He's a Christian philosopher. And this book is, the title is You Are What You Love. The subtitle is The Spiritual Power of Habit. And Smith basically tells us that in our lives, we do stuff without really realizing that we are doing those stuff. And those stuff, those practices, are forming us. They are shaping who we are. One example that he gives is driving. Now, I don't want to say this story, but Jess, I'm going to have to tell people that you're learning to drive. And for all of you who knows what it's like when you learn to drive, it's really, really tiring, right? When you learn to drive, because you're thinking of everything, right? You're so focused on everything, you're like, wow. And this hour of learning those lessons are really, really tiring because you have to think of everything. Now, most of you are experienced drivers. When you drive, do you really think of what you're doing? No, your body is doing it for you. That's the power of habit. A simple one would be to breathe. 99.9999% of the time, we don't think that we're breathing, right? We do it naturally. Our body is doing it for us. And so Smith is saying, maybe we should look a little bit more at our habits and what we do with our body, where our heart goes, because that would tell us a little bit more about ourselves. And because we are sons and daughters of René Descartes, a French fellow, who told us about the cogito ergo sum, right? I think, therefore I am. We tend to think of ourselves as just thinking creatures. Smith says, we think of ourselves as brains on sticks. That's who we are. And the body, yeah, we master the body. What we need to know is what we think, right? That's the most important. And if we think right, the body is going to come along. But guess what? That's not true. And Smith invites all of us to look at our lives as to do some sort of liturgical audit of our bodies. To say, hey, look at what you do during the week. Not what you think, but what you actually do. Or where your heart goes. What are your deepest desires? What are our deepest wishes? What do we really want? Where do we want our heart to go? What do we love? And Augustine said that, hey, Lord, our hearts are restless until they rest in you. It's not just about our brains, guys. It's about our bodies, our hearts. And God's obviously wants everything from us. He wants our brain, our mind, but he wants also our heart. And metanoia, see, that's the beauty of this concept, is that it's not just to repent from something we've done wrong. We all know that we've done something wrong, and if you've done something wrong, go and figure this out. That we know, right? And I'm not saying that repentance is not important. It should be the starting point. But most of the time, we see it as something really, really specific. And most of us are like, well, you know, I can't really define or I can't really point at something wrong that I've done during the week, right? It's the story of my mother, who was brought us as Catholic. And every week she had to confess her sins. She was maybe 5, 6, and she told me, you know, I had no idea what to say, what sins I have committed during the week. So I would just go and lie and say, have eaten chocolate and I enjoyed it. It's pretty sad, isn't it? So repentance, don't get me wrong, if you've done something bad, please do repent, right? But metanoia is more about something that we are called to do every day, every morning when we wake up. We are called as Christians to always change our heart and our minds, because our hearts and minds are going in different directions. It would be great if, you know, this conversion that happened when we become Christian and then we have nothing else to do. Honestly, that would be great, but it's not the case. And so I brought you a little present tonight. This is my Boy Scouts compass. I think it's a good representation of who we are, right? We are pulled in different directions. And so to find the north, we actually need to look at our compass every day and to check, okay, I am not heading in the right direction. Maybe my mind is. Maybe I know that I should go north, but my body is heading west. And so metanoia is this realignment, if you will, realignment of both the mind and the heart, all together in the right direction. And the Apostle Paul had his metanoia. Everything changed. From before to after, everything changed. Everything he think he knew changed. And everything he believed. And his heart also changed, right? He moved from being the greatest persecutor of the Christian faith to the greatest apostle, the defender of the faith. And everything changed for him. His view on who Jesus is changed. His view on the law, his view on the Gentiles, on circumcision, on the last days, everything changed for him completely. It was a turning around, a change of heart and a change of mind. That's what happened to the Apostle Paul. And we all know the great commandment, right, from Matthew 28. Go make disciples in the world, right? Baptizing, teaching them. Now, the Apostle Paul also had his greatest commandment. He told us what he did in the world. It's in Acts 20. And Paul says, you know, it started in Damascus, where he was heading when he was on his horse, right? He was heading to Damascus. He said, I was heading to Damascus, and then to Jerusalem, in all Judea, and then to the Gentiles, I preached metanoia. I preached the repentance, that people would repent and turn to God. And I also preach that they would demonstrate their repentance by their deeds. And that's the beauty of it. That's the beauty of this concept for us tonight, is that it's not just a concept that we apply, okay, we realign ourselves and that's it. It's not just I'm realigning and okay, I'm good for the day. No, it means that I realign myself and there will be fruits, right? They will demonstrate their repentance by their deeds. Let me just show you this this verse so you have it in mind. For those in Damascus, then to those in Jerusalem and in all Judea and then to the Gentiles, I preach that they should repent and turn to God and demonstrate their repentance by their deeds. So at this point of the sermon, you should, you know, look at the yellow words and be like, okay, now I get it. Repent, as Anto told me, means metanoia. And now we can see how metanoia encapsulates something a lot more bigger than just repent. And we can read it very, very differently. I preach that they should experience metanoia and turn to God. Remember the conversion? Just going 180 degrees. And demonstrate their metanoia by their deeds. So that's the good news of tonight, right? Is that metanoia is not just for ourselves. Christianity is not just about feeling well, feeling good, well-being. Of course, that's important. But it's also about others, the way that the Apostle Paul showed us, that he went to different places, and he said to people, hey, it's time to realign, people. It's time to realign. Your practices may be fine, but your mind and your beliefs are going the other way. So realign now. Or, you have the right beliefs. But, oh my gosh, your practices, they go south. So realign now. Turn to God. And through this process, deeds will happen. The good fruits will be produced. We can see the results if we realign ourselves. So think of it as you go this week. You know, what do you love? What are your deepest desires, your deepest longings? Where is your heart going? Smith gives so many examples, and one that I like is he compares the mole to a temple. And he gives architectural details on how we build moles. It's kind of, you know, this sense of wonder. I mean, go to IFC, you're like, wow, it's beautiful, right? Because what they are after is not our brains. They are after our heart. And they want us to feel that it's so impressive. Oh my gosh, I want to go back. I want to go back, and actually I'm going to put in my weekly routine to always go there and have Starbucks, which is, by the way, my personal sin. the power of habits, right? Everything that we do, we should be able to look at it and say, maybe I can change a little bit. Maybe I can realign myself. Things that we know and things that we do, things that we love. So there's a lot of work to be done for all of us. But the good news, of course, is we're not alone, right, in this process. The Holy Spirit is with us, is pushing us. He's like, yes, go ahead, keep going. And the good news is we can see fruits. We can see results. When we realign our heart, our mind, turn them to God, that's the right way. And that's metanoia. A lot more than a boring Greek concept, right? Something alive. It's a concept made alive for our personal lives and for the others. Let me pray. Lord, help us to change. Help us to change our heart and our mind, to turn to you, Lord. And that as we experience metanoia, Lord, you will help us in this process. Help us to look at what we love, what we desire, and help us to turn to you, our Lord and our Redeemer. Amen.